more of Life Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. Government shutdowns and debt ceiling debates aside, attaining the American dream remains a goal for people of all political stripes in this country. It's been that way for decades, as the book and the play Ragtime makes evident. The musical is set in early 20th century America and follows the search for success undertaken by an Eastern European immigrant family, an African-American couple, and a well-off white family. The musical is currently being staged to large audiences at the Milwaukee Rep. Artistic director Mark Clements and actor Gavin Gregory joined Lake Effect's Bonnie North in the studio recently, and Clements talked about why the American dream remains an enduring theme.
You know, many of us, whether we know it or not, have an obsession and a fascination with it because it all means the American dream means something different to all of us. And there's an expectation that goes with that, to a degree, a certain element of entitlement as well. Because that's the way we're brought up, that if we work hard and that we live our lives well, then that we will be rewarded. And so I think it's how people cut it up. You know, as an immigrant myself, you know, that has a fair bit of resonance about when you're moving to this country as opposed to being just a visitor and living with all the kind of great things and warts and all, you know. So that's kind of been the theme of a lot of our work. You know, somebody pointed that out to me the other day, like, you really are obsessed with the American dream, aren't you? And I'm like, well, you know, that's our lives. We're living that every day. And so I'm interested in works whilst being entertaining and fun, you know, that can also, you know, add a few layers of us to us as a decent human being, make us think a little bit, broaden our horizons, you know, so all of those things. And I think Ragtime, you know, if you kind of tick in the boxes, Ragtime probably ticks most of those, if not all of those boxes.
But it's based on the Doctorow book, which came out in the mid-70s. I remember reading it when it came out. And it's of a particular time in America when things kind of were breaking open. It was a huge wave of immigration from Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. African Americans had been at least, you know, freed for a while, mm-hmm. even though there wasn't a lot of real justice yet, mm-hmm. as this play definitely shows, as the musical, rather. Yeah. And yet there was this sense of unlimited possibilities. And I wonder if it's in some ways – I was thinking this as I was watching the show – if it's in some ways almost like a period piece because of that sense of unlimited possibility. I wonder if we all feel that way now, if that there is an unlimited possibility
here.
Well,
I think it's true. There is. And that's what keeps people hooked and why people still want to come to America and why there's, you know – an endless, you know, when you go through the green card immigration system, I mean, it's on the visa, you know, to come here, whether it's green card or some kind of visa. I mean, it's intense, the process, and it's become more so. People come here with huge expectation. They really do. They still do. You can see it in the faces and the things that people talk about. And, you know, when they arrive here, it's sometimes a different story or their paths are very different. But, you know, as the play shows, there are characters like J.P. Morgan and Houdini. And Houdini has this line and he says, think, you know, when you're getting down, I'm paraphrasing here, but think of Houdini, that magnificent immigrant, you know, who can break the chains of success and, you know, using that as a metaphor that actually, and that's what we do, isn't it? I mean, it's the ethos of playing the lottery every week.
Right.
I mean, you've got to be in to win. Only one person will win. The chances of it being you are, you know, you're going to have more chance of being eaten by a shark or hit by lightning. But there is somebody will win it. Somebody will pay a dollar and they will walk away with perhaps $240 million. It's kind of like the most obscene and extreme end of the American dream.
And so, Gavin, for you, you play Cole House Walker, and mm-hmm. he is a wonderful, wonderful character. And I want to say, is he based on Scott Joplin?
I probably loosely, you know what I mean? But I think looking back in history, there were many Cole Houses, you know what I mean? And I mean, here was a man that was, you know, self-educated, you know, was a hard worker, truly believed in the American dream, regardless of his skin color screaming out at people, especially at that time, and still held on to what the promise of America was supposed to be for everyone. And I think with his story, what I like about it is the fact that, yes, it is different than with what you saw with the immigrants coming in. This is a black man who didn't have the Ellis Island experience, but still believed that that dream is a possibility even for him. Even for how history says African Americans were treated until he didn't anymore.
I was going to say, I think till the very end he holds on to it. He has that optimism even in the face of everything.
I think that even with him becoming a quote unquote terrorist, if you will, he still. Was thinking that he was going to effect some sort of change. The way he went about it, you know, crazy, you know, because he went about it with rage. And I don't necessarily want to call it crazy. I mean, definitely, you know, there's a line in there with the loss of life and all of that is, you know, there's no excuse for it. But I think that in any revolution in any country, you know, there is serious collateral damage. And I think that that's how he was looking at it and still yet believing that he could affect change even in his rage, you know.
And still that dream was still out there for him to go to.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
The very final, you know, I mean, without giving the story away for those that don't know, you know, because there's some beautiful discoveries, but I mean, to the very end of the play, you know, I mean, when things are extremely difficult, nigh on impossible, I would say that he absolutely believes in the system, in that the system will be judicious and that he can trust in it.
Which is why
I put his faith in it.
Yeah, and that's what I think makes him so crazy, you know, with rage is just the fact that he cannot believe that the system is not working.
That,
you know,
it's failing him.
Well, yeah, because he's done all the right things. He's educated. He takes care of himself, the woman that he loves, his new family. He's trying to be upwardly mobile, and none of that mattered. he was reduced to a color. You know, and so
right.
I think it kind of, you know, there's also that whole balance that, you know, we constantly – that raises its head through the news, you know, in different guises, but what it means to be patriotic and loyal, you know, and how much you're prepared to accept certain things with that ideal in mind. You know, I mean, I think, you know, criticizing a country, like you can criticize, you can love your family members, you know, but we you know, most of us love our family, but we are critical of them at times. It's natural. And actually, it's healthy to do that. You know, there's this ridiculous notion in this country, I think, more than anywhere where I've ever lived, where if you're patriot, if you are critical of certain aspects of governmental legislation, that is deemed to be unpatriotic. You know, I love living here. I'm raising my family here. You know, I'm not a citizen yet, but I'm eligible for citizenship, and I certainly can see myself moving in that direction. You know, I'm married to an American. I feel more American than I do British these days, you know, in terms of how I think and how I dream. And it's much more of an American model, and I'm very happy and proud to be here. Doesn't mean I cannot be critical of certain things that actually frighten me, you know, and scare me, especially having a young daughter growing, you know, who's grown up in this country. And I want to use my voice, you know, and I want to use it loud and clear. And I think this play constantly looks at that, how and what level, you know, is appropriate to do that. And when does it tip the balance? And, you know, the debate in the play between Colhaus Walker, who's obviously a fictitious character, but Booker T. Washington, who is one of the real characters in the play, that debate that they have in the play, it's one of my favorite scenes in the piece, you know, where the plight of the black man and how, you know, his evolution and how much, you know, does he have to assimilate himself to be accepted, you know, into society, and to what level is that appropriate, you know, I think is a really, there aren't any answers to that, and everybody has their own answer to it, maybe.
And it's also interesting, the idea of dissent. you know, and what that means in a healthy democracy.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what I love about this play is that you've got all kinds of levels of dissent in all these different characters.
Yep. So marital.
There's from the very small and the very personal to the very big and the very revolutionary or the outwardly revolutionary, perhaps. Because everything's revolutionary.
And that's what's so brilliant about that book. You know, I mean, it's actually a really short novel, you know. And, you know, I hadn't actually read the novel before I knew I was going to do this piece.
Had you, Gavin?
No, actually, I hadn't either. I've done this – I've played this role before at another theater, but I did not read the novel – until I did this particular production of it for Milwaukee.
I made them all read it.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes it doing your homework is it's a really good thing. Sometimes there are things that I feel like would probably hinder you as an actor. And at the time when I first did the piece, that's what I felt. I was like, oh, let me just find this. I got to know what it is. But to get a second crack at it. And to delve into it a little more is just, you know, I think it informed what I'm doing on stage and informed the picture that he wanted to see as the director in a much better light.
Well, thank you both
for
coming in and telling a little bit of the story here for us and for the listeners. And we'll put all of the details on the website about where you can get tickets and all of the times and all of that kind of stuff. But I want to thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Gavin Gregory plays the role of Colehouse Walker in the Milwaukee Reps production of Ragtime, which runs through October 27th at the Quadracci Powerhouse Theater. Mark Clements directs and is artistic director of the Rep. They spoke with Bonnie North, and you can read much more about the production from a link at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Children of the 80s and 90s Unite, a new book details what may have been a significant part of your childhood. We'll hear about the early history of the Nickelodeon Network when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.